Hey there, welcome to episode 375 of the Find Your Food Voice podcast. I am your host, Julie Duffy Dillon. Thank you so much for joining us. And I am so excited to be back recording more regular episodes and especially looking forward to you listening to this episode because this is an episode where I am sitting down with Colleen Bremner and Rachel Popick, who are two people that you don't get to see and hear a lot from because they are helping me behind the scenes. I don't know if you know this, but this independent podcast is not just me. There are many people behind the scenes. There's also an audio engineer, hey Toby, that helps us with our episodes. And like I said, Colleen and Rachel and I are getting back together. It's been a long time. We haven't had a chat like this since January, and a lot has happened since then. So we have a very fun episode with book updates, life updates, dating updates. And so I'm excited for you to hear this episode and I don't know, just to get to know us a little bit more. And as I get to that episode, I want to let you know what to expect from the podcast the next few months. We are back on like a regular schedule now that I am just about done editing the Find Your Food Voice book. The book will be out in March of 2025. And I'm so excited. I think you're really going to love it. I really do. And it's just going to be a little longer before it is available to be read. But there are some updates that I'm going to share with you in this episode, like I said. And besides getting ready for the book, this podcast is going to be back on its weekly schedule. I'm going to have some bonus episodes too, just because I have a lot to say. And I'm going to have a new segment called Mini Sessions. These are types of activities I would have done with clients when I was working one-on-one. They're not meant to replace an actual real-life session with a therapist or dietitian. It's just for education, but I also think they're going to be fun. They're going to be a new tool for you to put in your Food Voice toolbox, maybe to take to your therapist or dietitian. So you will be seeing those every month along with letters from food and or letters to food and food writing back and all the other stuff that we have been doing every month since 2016. It's been a long time and I'm happy to still be here. Anyway, enough rambling for me. We're going to get to my conversation with the dream team, Rachel, Colleen, and I after a very quick sponsor break. Welcome back. And I am so excited to get started. Rachel, Colleen, it's so good to see your face. I haven't seen and like talked to both of you in so long. So let's go ahead and get started. And Colleen, what's up?
Hello, everyone. I'm back. We're back. It's so wonderful to be back.
Are you going to sing for us? It sounds like you're going to sing.
We're back. You know, I have to do something like that. I cannot believe that we haven't spoken as a dream team since January 9th. That literally blows my mind.
Yeah, that's a long time. It's been a lot. There's been a lot since then.
So much. And it's just so nice to be back in your ear, dear listener. Mm-hmm. Wonderful to be back. We have so many life updates. And as we were chatting in preparation for this, we realized like this is going to be its own entire episode. So we'll have to touch base again with you all soon with some other fun and exciting things on the horizon. But for this episode, we thought we'd share some of what's been going on in the past few months since you've heard from all of us together last. So I'm going to start. Surprise, surprise, not so much of a surprise. I'm a new mom.
Yay!
And I love having little baby girl B in my life. She is incredible. And it has been so fun learning how to be a mom and adding that piece to my identity. I will say the first 2 weeks, like bringing her home from the hospital, were maybe the hardest weeks of my life. And I lived in West Africa for 2 years. Like I've done some pretty hard shit, but nothing compares to figuring out how to be a new parent, how to navigate what my relationship now looks like with my partner, how to add this piece to my own identity that has completely shifted my identity, but everyone that looks at me kind of still sees my, you know, old Colleen, but I'm like not my old self. I look like my old self, but I internally am so different. And it's sometimes hard to navigate, just because, you know, it's like adding a whole nother hat to the hats that one wears. So I'm now, you know, wife, mother, worker bee, all of these different things. And I'm just, I'm figuring out my own identity. The first 2 weeks were also really difficult because I ended up having an emergency C-section, which could probably be its own diet culture IRL in and of itself.
Yes.
I'm just wondering about that in the future, but it was just a wild, wild time. And if anyone is listening to this who has experienced, I don't know, like I am very into hearing about other folks' birth stories. And if you're interested in sharing, like, please reach out to us and I would be happy to read / follow up and respond via email with my own and share. But it's just, it was wild. And I will use the word traumatic. It was pretty traumatic. So I feel like I'm now just getting, you know, after therapy and talking to lots of folks about how it went versus how I thought it was going to go. I feel definitely more open to chatting about it than I did in those first few months of becoming a new mom. But yeah, big life update from me, and wanted to share with all of you. And yeah.
So glad you did. Yeah, there's no way to prepare for this kind of shift that you went through. Because people can tell you, but until you actually live it, there's really, it's really hard. So we're so glad to see you.
So glad to see you. So glad for you to be back. And also just as your friend, it's such a privilege to watch you blossom into your new role as mom. You're phenomenal, and it warms my heart to watch you and baby be together. So
That's so sweet. Yeah,
we Rachel, look forward to any back from a beach trip. Just got to see each other like in person, and and baby B was there on our first like annual beach trip. Cute. So it was really fun to have everyone together.
To watch her experience like the beach and the ocean for the first time, and like just
see her little piggies in the ocean.
You know, like you can see like babies, you know, they're taking in so much information like all the time and learning so much, and just kind of watching baby be like stare at the ocean with this kind of like look of like awe on her face, and just trying to imagine what it would be like to like see the ocean for the first time. It's like just really cool.
Oh, that's so great. I love it. Well, so glad that things are getting smoother, I guess, Colleen.
Yes.
I was going on.
Figuring things out. And not to say, you know, every day is different, obviously.
And it continues.
I feel like I'm getting my land legs a little bit more. So,
yes. Well, and yeah, if you need any insight into all that stuff, let me know. Happy to help. As someone who's been there.
Something that we were talking about a little bit at the beach this weekend was just how the narrative around, you know, people who identify as women caretakers versus people who identify as men caretakers, how the narrative around each of those is still very prevalent in society today. And just, you know, someone made a comment like, oh, like Max is such a good dad. And a little like piece of me was like, well, I'm also like a good parent. Like, but it's just, it's like inherent, you know, that like people just are like, oh yeah, naturally, because you know, your mom, like you're a good parent. Extra when it's dad, and like people comment about it. And it's like,
dad's holding his child. And they're like, oh my gosh, he's such a good dad.
Yes. It's like, well, we're both partners in this. And so that's been interesting too, just to hear kind of the narrative between like, you know, our caretaking roles and how we've been, you know, talking about that behind closed doors. So
Colleen, I'm curious because like you naturally are such a like, you know, born caretaker, like beyond just the fact
Enneagram
that you were,
too.
You know, socialized and identify as being a woman. So like there's the gendered aspect of it. You just like inherently mm-hmm. like gravitate towards that role. I'm curious if that, I guess I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. Like that layer added on those gendered dynamics has made that kind of those gendered assumptions even more difficult, mm-hmm. or like kind of how your relationship to that is.
That's such a good question. Yeah, I think that what's difficult for me, and maybe this is because I'm a 2 and Enneagram 2, is that like sometimes I just want to be acknowledged as well. And I mm-hmm. have like, I have a lot of, I mean, the mom guilt is so real already. Like there was mm-hmm. a day that I got my hair done and I was like, I'm going to do something for myself. I went and got my hair done, but I didn't see baby B until I got back and she was already in bed. And mm-hmm. I felt so guilty. I was like, oh my gosh, I spent no time with her. Like I was gone all day at work. And then like I got my hair done, so I didn't see her. And I felt like this immense guilt. And I asked myself, like, I wonder if like my partner would have felt this way mm-hmm. as well, mm-hmm. or like if this is just like pressure I'm putting on myself. And so I think to answer your question, like it's probably a good mix of the two for me. It's probably mm-hmm. like I just naturally really I want to do well at this job. It's like yeah. my own pressure. Like mm-hmm. and I think Rachel, you're gonna talk a little bit about perfectionism as well, but I feel this like sense of like I want to be really good at this, and like mm-hmm. yeah. I really want to be like, yes, I had the best mom, like, you know, as she grows up and talks to her friends and like mm-hmm. and parenthood is not like that. There's no checking
yeah
boxes. It's just not yeah. like that. So I think it's probably a combo of all of those things of society, but yes. also my own yeah. pressure and yeah, external, like so many external comments. The number of external comments I've had to just like be like, interesting. Interesting that you said
yes.
that.
Or, yes.
Like unsolicited advice. I'm like, that's interesting that you felt like good saying that to me.
Interesting. That you felt that was appropriate to comment yeah, exactly. on your body or the baby's yeah. body. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I remember just doing a lot of, oh. Like I would never be like, yeah. thank you. Oh. I'm also acknowledging, but like, not encouraging,
why,
you know,
like, yeah. Why did you say that? Or why did you, you know, like mm-hmm. just to get folks thinking more about
yeah.
like
yeah.
why they think that the way that they do, even if, you know, nothing comes of it for me. So
yes.
kind of a big life update on my end, but just chugging along and figuring it out. And
yes, yeah, we're excited for you.
And thanks, excited, so excited. Like, to unpack things along the way. I know it's going to come up in diet culture IRLs. So
heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Yes.
So,
well, Rachel, I know you brought up the perfectionism, or Colleen mm-hmm. brought up the perfectionism that you mentioned before. Mm-hmm. Shall we move to you? Are you ready?
Sure. I'm ready. So I don't know. I feel like so much has happened in the past 8 months, but I guess mm-hmm. my big life update is that my Stay Doughy brand, which is a brand that was named by our dear Colleen, our marketing genius.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, she was the one who came up with the name. It came about because we were talking about, you know, like cooking, but also like accepting the body you're in. So it's like Stay Doughy is like play on like cooking, right? Mm-hmm. Dough. But also like doughy, like a little extra, mm-hmm. little extra rolls, some fat, and like just being okay with it. But it's been a long time coming, but I officially like launched Stay Doughy as a like actual business out into the universe, put it Woo! Out there.
So excited.
Which is very exciting, but it was very nerve wracking and took a long time to get to the point where I was okay with putting something out there that wasn't what I considered like perfect yet. Like I kept putting it off because I was like, it's not quite right. And I finally just kind of like ripped the Band-Aid off and did it. So that's been really exciting. I am loving kind of creating these like safe diet-free spaces for people to kind of reconnect with the joy of cooking and the pleasure of eating through these mm-hmm. cooking classes, both like online and in person, and kind of my one-on-one support offerings. But it has brought up a lot of challenges to my like type A perfectionist tendencies.
It'll bring it to light. Yeah.
Because I have a not great habit of quitting things that I'm not like perfect at right away. Like if I'm not an expert, I'm like, not worth it. And so this has been a challenge to be like, it's okay that my business isn't an overnight roaring success, that I have hundreds of people clamoring to work with me immediately. Like that doesn't mean it won't be successful and I shouldn't give it up. But it's really kind of like every day I have to grapple with like, this is what I'm happy doing and I know it has value. And so I need to keep going with it, even though I'm have some uncertainty and yeah. So it's been, it's been a learning experience, but it's been great.
I think if you'll talk to anybody who owns a business, they'll say the same thing. Yeah. You know, that of like, especially this like disappointment that things don't just like overnight produce what you need to make it like sustainable living, that it takes a while. And it does, it brings up all that perfectionism goop. So,
and it's also difficult to, I don't think I realized how challenging it would be to, because it's not like a product I'm selling. I'm like selling myself and my services. And like promoting myself is like not something that comes naturally to me. And it feels a little icky almost. And that's like another thing that I'm working for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I also think about what you're selling too is more than you, the vehicle of the services, you know, because you're selling an, a way for people to learn how to be around food and enjoy food and to nourish themselves. You know, there's all these other parts to it as well. So, you know, and that is worth $1 million if I just say so myself.
I hope so.
Yes, you do fabulous work in the PCOS Power community. I love the like cooking shows you do, and just even like how you talk about, like the nourishing side of like food. You know, how to like actually help yourself to be around food and have like different types of food and to learn and explore and be curious and play. Like that's all like so fun, and there's not many people who do that, right? So anyway. Yeah. Super excited about that. That is so fun. So
exciting. And hopefully it's helpful to have like some professional hype people in your corner. You know, I think one of my strengths is just hyping. I think I do it for Julie and I do it for Rachel. It's just like, I don't know. Sometimes you just need someone in your corner. And this goes for, you know, if you're feeling like, oh, I'm not ready to take a step towards anything, like lean on your support system. I do the same thing with Rachel. I'm like, I feel so out of my element with XYZ. Like, and she'll be like, oh, I totally have this. Like, it just helps to have those people who truly believe in you, believe in your like person, but also your brand, depending on, you know, where you're at in your journey. And I was listening to a friend of mine actually has a podcast that's called Love Yourself First. And she was talking about, her name is Tracy Hirsch. She was talking about how sometimes you just have to do things scared. She says for courage and confidence, you've got to find courage first and confidence will follow. And I really just love that. So
I really love that.
I thought I'd highlight that too.
Yeah, that's so great. Well, I love that because I do think that people who do these things that we admire and we think they're so like great from the get-go, it's really that's what they're doing is they're doing it scared. Like most people are not prepared and they're just willing to do the scary thing. And I think for entrepreneurship too, there's a lot that a person has to do before they have all their ducks in a row. You know, there's a lot of like building the airplane as you're flying kind of like metaphors happening whenever you do anything with business. So yeah, it's terrifying, but also like so great to not have to work for someone else.
And Rachel has had some like really incredible successes recently too that I feel like she's being really humble about. So I'm just going to highlight some of those here. Like she's led plenty of cooking classes that people have loved mm-hmm. and raved about. So definitely check out her Instagram and TikTok at yes. Say Doughy, because they're pretty incredible. And I learn from her every day. Like, I'm always like, ooh, I want to try that. Ooh, I want to try mm-hmm. this. So,
mm-hmm. the peanut butter and jelly smoothie. Oh, is that what you
it's
make?
Classic.
So yeah. good. So good.
Classic. I have it at least 3 times a week.
Yes. I love that one so much. And you know, I'm not on Instagram, but I'm on TikTok and I have been enjoying your TikTok. So yes, keep bringing it.
I'm trying. I'm working with it.
I yes. think that this is such a good segue into Julie's life update with, mm-hmm. you know, just finding courage and doing things scared. And so, Julie,
yes, that's a great theme for all
why
of
don't
us,
you
right?
Take it away.
Oh, it is.
Okay. So should we talk business or pleasure first? Like, which one would be better to start
ooh.
With?
Ooh. Let's do business. Business
yeah,
first.
Let's do business.
And then mainly because I'm so excited about the pleasure part that I want to like leave it to the end.
Okay. So business, of course, has to do with writing the book. So the Find Your Food Voice book manuscript finally got done in woo. May. And I will be – I don't know if I mentioned this on the podcast. Rachel, you'll know if I mentioned it. Like that I got the due date wrong. Did I mention that here?
You didn't mention that. No.
Nope. Okay. So let's talk about perfectionism flying like right in the face to prove that you're not perfectionist or not, you know, going to get everything right. So when I started writing this manuscript back in August of 2023, I outlined every single month. Like I basically had to figure out what days I didn't have to worry about childcare and which days I could devote to writing. And I had like a certain number that I could write. Mm-hmm. And I knew about how many words my book was going to be. So I just did the math and I was like, okay, I have to write this many words each writing time. And around middle of April, I got an email from my other Rachel in my life, a person who's works for the publisher. She's my developmental editor, but she's like, just want to make sure you're on track to be turning this in May 1st. And I was like, oh, she must have this wrong because it's May 31st. But I was like, let me just double check the contract to make sure. And no, I was wrong. So luckily, I was a little ahead of writing, but it basically meant I had to write a lot more than I was used to in 2 weeks to get it all the way done. But I got it done. So and it ended up being really good because May as a mom of elementary school kids is just like the worst month. It's just crazy how everything is just starting to like wind down. And there's always like these last minute things you have to do. And so I was able to be present basically in my kids' life. But then in June, we started doing editing rounds. And this was something I wasn't really prepared for. Like, it's basically like doing nothing. And then all of a sudden I had to like turn around editing really quickly within like 3 or 4 days, like going through, I don't know, it's like 80,000 words.
Oh my God.
4 days and make big decisions. And then, so we've done, I think 3 editing rounds this summer. And I have, I think the last one, possibly the last one starting next week. That's why we're recording this week. And then it's due to the printer in September. So like it has to be almost done. Right.
That's
so yeah,
soon.
That has been really, yeah, so soon. And it, you know, it comes out in March. But now it's, yeah, it's almost done. I don't know what my life is going to be like with not having that as a project to do. But one thing that I have realized from writing is that I really have enjoyed this process of writing. It's been really enjoyable and it almost feels like an art to do, you know, to write. So I'm really proud of the book. I can't wait for the two of you to read it.
I'm so
and
excited.
Everybody else listening
so
too.
Excited. I'm just so excited. Chomping at the bit.
Oh, well, I think you'll like it. And I'm really proud of it. But yeah, so that's the book update. That's the business stuff. And let's talk about the juicy pleasure
to that.
Yes.
also. Just wondering, because I feel like, I don't know, sometimes I feel like we drop some valuable knowledge in these babies. So I wanted to ask, how did you tackle needing to pivot those deadlines? And, you know, when you found out, like, what did you do? Did you do anything mentally to like prepare, brace yourself, or set aside time? Like, or did you just not have the time to do that? And you just were like, well, like, here we go.
A little bit of the latter there. Yeah. I have a couple colleagues who are like my also like a cheerleader like you. They're my Enneagram 2s in my life. I surround myself by many Enneagram 2s for that reason. And one of them was like, because I was like, I don't think I can do it. I can't write that much. And my friend was like, no, Julie, you can do this. Like this is something you can do, you know? And like the way, I don't remember all that she said, but she basically convinced me that, you know, get out of my own way and do it. And I had to drop some things, obviously, because I think we had slated for some more podcast episodes for May. And we had to just say, no, we're not going to do them. Like I was in the middle of the series on like, that Washington Post article about anti-diet dietitians in the food industry in bed together. And so I had to basically like pause right in the middle of that. And yeah, just had to roll with it. And yeah, I did it. And I, part of what I think helped me too was just like, it was just for 2 weeks, basically. I had to just be this, you know, hardcore writer for 2 weeks and that's it. I also told my kids, I was like, listen, unless, you know, you're bleeding or you've lost an appendage, pretty much don't bother me. I love you. I will have food available, but you know. But I also have kids. My youngest is like almost 12. So like, you know, they can do a lot of things themselves. So that's how I did that. Quite an experience. I don't recommend that way to end, but it worked out.
You're so rad. I think that's awesome.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you believe in.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
I'm glad.
Okay, now the personal life.
Now the pleasure. Well, not that the book wasn't exciting, but the
right.
Yes,
the personal.
Well, the book was exciting, but it also was like a really fun time to write something. And you know, I was thinking about this. I know January is when we all met before, but then like the Dream Team chat from like the beginning of the fall last year is when I told everyone I was getting divorced. And in the state of North Carolina, you have to be separated for a year before you can like file. And my ex and I, we had talked about divorce about 6 months before we actually separated because we wanted to wait for the end of the school year. So I'm telling you all this because, you know, we had pretty much logistically ended our relationship for a long time before we separated. And then as our like parenting schedule started to change, at first when I was home by myself, I was just like, oh my God, I'm home by myself. This is awesome. Like, I don't know, that may be surprising to some people, but I found it quite fun to be home by myself. Mm-hmm. And after about like 3 or 4 months, I was like, I think I want to hang out with somebody. Like, and I had lots of friends that I would be hanging out with during these times where I wasn't parenting. But I basically was like, I think I'm ready to date. And that was weird because do y'all remember Y2K?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember like where you were when it went from 1999 to 2000? Mm-hmm. I know y'all were young. Well, that was the last time I was single. So like that was time. Like, yeah, that was when I dated last was like, because I met my ex in January of 2000. So like, so the thought of dating at like 48, I was like, is anybody going to want to date me? Like this old lady, you know? And, and also like, I don't dye my hair. I'm not going to dye it. I don't do like Botox or anything. And not that I judge anybody else who does those things, but just for me, I'm not doing those things. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to find anybody who actually wants to date me. And it was a really weird kind of experience, but also like, I don't know. I was like, I think I want to see what happens. I was really curious. So, I listened to a few podcasts, of course. I don't know if you all have, I think her name is Lily Womble on your radar, but her podcast is Date Brazen. And she's like this feminist dating coach person. And she has a new book out called Thank You More, Please. And so I listened to a lot of her podcasts. And it was all about like really just like if you're wanting to date or to do the apps, to really focus on what you want. You know, don't just date people just because they match with you. Like, don't back down on any values, like be all in. And I was like, that's the only way I'm going to do this. Cause I'm really enjoying my time alone, you know?
Yeah.
So my peace is really great. So I don't want to date somebody who is going to compromise how great life is right now, you know?
Yeah.
So I found an app that was for parents, but that didn't go very well. It didn't have, I still don't think it had a lot of like options. And, you know, again, I live in this kind of small town. So, it's not a plethora of single people over the age of 45. So I definitely, I eventually joined Hinge and, love it or hate it. It was at first pretty weird. Because at first I did like the free version and, for me, dating someone politically who is like not aligned with me, either someone who is conservative or like apolitical, I just found to be not an option. And with, some of these apps, you know, you all did apps. So like, I know, you know, this stuff, but for people in my age group, to actually like screen out for people, I had to like use the paid version. So I started to do all these different like things that I was like, okay, I'm not willing to compromise this, this, and this. And I found very few options. And then I got worried. And one of my friends, she did her dissertation on dating apps and relationships. And oh, she basically was, I know. So I was like, Kate, what am I doing wrong? And she's like, oh no, Julie, you're not doing it wrong. She's like, you need to be even like even more detailed, like just keep it as detailed as you can. And you know, if the listener is curious, like what I was like saying I wanted, I basically didn't want someone that much younger than me. And I wanted someone that politically was liberal, who wasn't religious. And I also wanted someone with children, you know, someone who understand what it was like to actually be a parent. I have this like pie in the sky idea of the future of like a big family getting together, you know, and a blended kind of family is what I was picturing. Yeah. So, you know, after a few months, I had been like talking to a number of people, but they just, as I would talk to some people, they just never really clicked. And then eventually I started talking to one particular guy and he checked all the boxes and he was very engaging and very like funny. And, I know some of the men on the apps, they would like go right to like sexual stuff. And I was like, wait, buddy, too soon.
Like slow down.
Yeah. So this guy was not like that. And he lives about an hour away from me. So it also was kind of complicated because he wasn't close, but, this person was my like first actual like in-person date. And that was in December. So we are still dating and he's real nice and cute.
I wish you all could see Julie's face right now. I really do. I love it.
He is so sweet. He, and you know, talking about like parenting, like he was the primary caregiver of his kids when they were little. So, yeah, it's been really nice to date a guy who has different like experiences in that way. He also speaks another language. He's from another country. Like there's just like a lot of differences that have been new to me, but also been really like, I don't know, I feel like a sense of like I'm growing from this relationship in many different ways. So, so yes, it's been fun. And people always want to know if my kids have met him yet, and they have not, because I'm waiting until I'm actually divorced for that to happen. Because again, state of North Carolina, we have to wait a really long time. But yeah, he's been really great. We went on a vacation together a few weeks ago and went to Oaxaca, Mexico, and basically had the most amazing food I've ever had in my life. I was sending texts to Rachel. I was like, wait till you hear about this food. It's so good. And they had like, we were there during a specific type of festival. So they had even more from different regions in this one particular area that we were in. And they also had like a mezcal festival where like pay $4 and you got to have like all you can drink mezcal tasting.
Okay.
All right.
It was really great.
Had a really good time that day.
we had a really good time. Yeah, it was great. And a friend of mine before the trip said that 50% of couples break up after their first vacation together because like you really get to see like differences. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we were laughing about that. We're like, oh, we made it through the first trip. but yeah, we're taking it slow and also really enjoying each other. Unfortunately, there's like I say unfortunately, but there's also some fortunate sides of this. But there's only so many times we can see each other because we parent our children a good amount of our time and we live an hour apart. And so, you know, we can't see each other all the time, but that also has allowed for, I think, a nice kind of like progression where I am like, you know, still have my other life and still get to have my time alone and things like that. So yeah, fun stuff.
Oh my gosh.
It's so exciting. Fun.
I also love that you shared that with us and like with our listeners. And I just think it's very, very cool.
I know. Thank you.
I know we're coming up on time here, but I am curious. You mentioned this fear of like, will anyone want me? And I think that's something our listener definitely can relate to. I know I can, even with, you know, just finding new friendships and things like that. It's like, it's inherent in all of us, I feel like. I think a lot of us can relate to that. How did you combat that fear?
Oh, you know, I do have this like, this part of my personality that's kind of like, if I really want something, I'll just do it, even if I'm scared. I think that's why I like being an entrepreneur. And so that just it was an override in a way. And again, I was like, I really want to try dating. So like, if it sucks, if no one wants me, then I'll go back to what I like this life on my own, which is pretty fabulous, you know? And you know, there's some parts too, like I wanted to date someone who didn't like drink a lot, or like do drugs and stuff like that. Like I was like, I kind of don't want it in my life anymore. And that was another side that I was like, am I going to be able to find somebody who wants to date outside of using substances and stuff? And so yes, it was all yes. Like if you're almost 50 or older, yes, people still want to date you. If you have wrinkles and gray hair, yes, people still want to date you. They still want to like hook up with you. Like there's still that like, still that happening. And I think when you're in like a monogamous relationship for decades, it can feel like that's never going to be an option again. But yeah, I live to tell. Yes.
I love that. And I think it's important too. Like, again, it's these narratives that society tells us, right? That like permeate into some of those like fear points for us. And it's like, okay, just because we don't see in media that like, people are finding love in their 60s and 70s, like 80s, doesn't mean it's not happening.
Yeah.
Like, exactly. Also, people are having sex when they're in their 60s, mm-hmm. 70s, and 80s. Like, mm-hmm. these are like totally normal things, and we just don't mm-hmm. see it or hear about it. So it feels like it's not happening, but it totally is. And I love that so much.
You know, I didn't mention this, but like, I do have like a friend and a mentor who's a dietitian who is in her 60s. Her name's Deb Benfield, and she's been on the podcast many times. And she talks a lot about aging and body liberation. And she's writing a book about that actually right now.
Ooh.
And so she's someone I talked to. I was like, help me. She's like, don't worry, Julie. Like, people will still want to have sex with you. Like, it's all right. It's like, like, that's all I need. Thanks, Deb. I just need to make sure that, you know. And it's been really great to see how, like the societal rules that we're taught, again, are not the truth, you know? And So,
wow.
So, yeah.
What? This episode packed a punch, y'all. Like,
I know.
I'm like excited to listen back to it. So,
I know.
Yeah, juicy I'm stuff. So glad we got to chat, catch up, and I'm very excited for our next Diet Culture IRL with the three of us to kind of unpack some things that we've been seeing over the past few months. So definitely mm-hmm. stay tuned.
Yes. And if you, listener, have some like IRL like experiences with diet culture that you would like to hear us unpack, let us know. Shoot us an email, info@juliedillonrd.com, and we would love to unpack it. All right. Well, thanks, y'all.
Thanks.
Bye.
So there you have it. I hope you enjoyed this Dream Team chat as much as the three of us enjoyed just catching up and hearing about all the excitement going on in each other's life. And we would love for you to stay in touch. And there's many ways for you to do that. You can push subscribe. And if you're pushing subscribe, if you have a few extra seconds, literally just seconds, to leave us a 5-star review, that would be so wonderful. It helps more people find the show. And it's one of the ways you can support us for free. And if you also would like to stay in touch outside of the podcast and join 8,000 plus fellow voice finders, you can do that by joining my email list. There is a link below in the show notes, or you could go to my website, julieduffydillon.com. I have a bunch of free tools that you can download again for free that also then would help you get onto my email list. And then we can chat once a week. So I look forward to seeing you there. And like I said, we are so excited to be back behind the mic with weekly or more podcasts. And so I will see you very soon. And if you are someone that loves YouTube over podcasts, you can join me over in YouTube. Or if you found me in YouTube and you'd rather just join me on the podcast, you can also find us on your podcast app of choice. All right. So enough of all of that. Thank you again for joining us, and we will see you next time. Until then, take care.